Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber of StuWeb.com, and it is Saturday, March the 13th, 2021. My computer is reading a little bit different for some reason, which means somebody hit it during the middle of the night and changed the numbers on it as far as the date. Well, feds, keep it up. You know the game. I have incredible evidence from yesterday and before the day before. Oh, I had some heavy car chases. I decided to start taking pictures of Orion Investigations of Overland Park, Kansas, and the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office, Division Number 5, operating out of Gene Baker's office. I caught you yesterday, and I have you on camera. I have your face. I have your license numbers. We had car chases. Remember your Mercedes, your BMW, excuse me. Remember that one? You didn't want me to take your face. I didn't get your face, but boy, do I have camera evidence. So, folks, I'm going to put up there. These are attempted murderers. These are the same ones who car crashed me and rode me. Division Number 5, who has been after me. By the way, I want to give you a warning. My prosecutor friend who will defend me in the court said, if I'm in fear of my life, I can take your life. With that said, I welcome Paul this morning. I welcome Jeff this morning. And we're going to have a discussion on how close we are with things and numbers and other things. Now, Paul, I want you to pick it up, please.
Well, Stu, thank you. And you have a situation in your life where we can't give you advice or counsel. And so...
Leave it alone, Paul. You don't need to. Leave it alone. I am in control of my own situation and my own destiny. Let's talk about everybody else today. That's what I want to talk about. What we're all facing. A satanic environment that nobody can believe. We are there. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, we are living in surreal times. And I call it the asylum. And everything is seemingly an inversion. And that's really my seminal point. On the 6th, 3-6-666, Pokemon went to Ur of the Chaldees and did a ritual that commenced 40 days of weeping for Tammuz. And Tammuz would be the child of Nimrod and Semiramis. And so Tammuz would also be there for a Jesus-type figure. But beyond that, in the occult, and occult means hidden, and in the dark arts with their sorcery and black magic, they do everything by the numbers. It's called either gematria, if you want British Harji, or gematria, if you want to pronounce it as most Americans do. And every date and every time, number has significance and meaning. And so if one can transcend the normal thinking is that history is organic and, you know, everything just kind of happens. Well, that really is just not the way the world really works. And the problem with what we've been taught, what we've been told, what we've seen on TV is that we're supposed to believe that it's just good cop versus bad cop and left versus right. We don't ever want to admit that we've been fooled, that it's a duopoly in Washington, D.C., and that means that both sides are working together and it's all controlled. So the big point being signs and symbols rule the world. It's how the parasites communicate with each other. And not only signs and symbols, but numbers, times and dates, that's what they do their rituals based upon. Tonight is a full moon. And of course, I don't really enjoy full moons. I used to be able to laugh and, you know, and appreciate the beauty of God's creation. And as we get closer to what I perceive to be the end of days, or we are in the end of days, and I don't know how many minutes or seconds we are until midnight, but as I get closer, I understand that when it's full moon, they are doing rituals, and Wicca or witchcraft or the dark arts, the lunar moon is really important. And so here's just some things I'm going to present to you. Way back on September 23, 2017, the Revelation 12 sign, Jesus' return, was in the stars in the heavens. Well, who came up with that? Well, there's a lot of people that understand that number is very important to God too. So you have the recurring theme of 40 days, 40 nights. Moses wandered in the wilderness for 40 days, 40, I'm sorry, 40 years. Jonah went to Nineveh and they repented and they got 40 more years. Jesus went out into the desert and fasted for 40 days, 40 nights. So it should be no surprise that then they would do rituals that are based on 40 and so forth. But the Revelation 12 sign is September 23, 2017, the sign in the heavens. On March 22, and that would be, we are we March 12th now, or is it the 11th? I'm not sure, but regardless, on March 22, 23, because remember that we're from Zulu time. Zulu time, I think, is London, and so we're, you know, we're about 13 hours behind, or actually with Australia, I suppose, in the east, you could be almost 15 hours difference where we're at Central Standard Time. But so, you know, important things happen on 322. It's your arch nemesis, Daddy's favorite number at Skull and Bones, of course.
Now you're talking about Daddy Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, fallen angel possessed human being. That was his number.
Yes, Skull and Bones, 322. That's Daddy.
Can I add something to this that I said before the show, folks? I met his psychic. She was a psychologist, psychic in Las Vegas. Another psychic that I met at a Patriot meeting took me to her. I talked to George Herbert Walker Bush and Dick Cheney, Dickie, the one that pumps kids. He's a pedophile, psychic. He's psychic. I met in Las Vegas and sat for 2.5 hours in a conversation with the two of them. I could fill 3 hours of radio. I won't do that because I am aware. I believe one is still alive. The other one, I don't know about. But Paul, pick it up from there.
Okay. Yeah, it is surreal. And we are not part of the club, their club, thankfully. And I can only imagine the insanity that these people go through, because Leon Solomon, of course, is Solomon, of course, he supposedly could control the fallen ones, the demons, and so on. And but I don't think the people who appear to be human have any humanity left, and that's because they are so under the spell control. They have to serve their dark masters, and that's why you end up with the one black eye, and that's why these people live in constant fear and terror, and that's why they're never satisfied. In other words, they have to continue to do the rituals and serve their dark masters. masters are they're punished or killed or eliminated. And so once you enter into that system, that's how you create rich race-like world wars and abortion. All of these are really rituals, and that's why new moon tonight, you know, hey, I'm just trying to stay close to God and be in prayer, and there's spiritual warfare everywhere, and to be in that realm, I gotta tell you, you better be close to God, you better be pure and righteous and holy and hear from God, because, you know, there are times where I've done some praying and you know, fortunately I've been protected, but boy, when you go to bed and you get hit with orbs and all sorts of crazy stuff, you know, it's like, oh man, that's what we get when we get into Ephesians 6:10-20.
Paul, it's every day with you, with me, with other prayer warriors. They're trying to bring the truth to the people. You start going into prayer with Jesus Christ, warring against the enemy, and you're going to take a lot of hits. Believe me, I know. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is really going to be a time of testing, and it's probably not going to be our best lives now as we imagine it, or we've been told that Jesus just wants us to be happy. I think there's in Peter, why do we suffer? And the answer is because Jesus suffered. So that's a lot easier way for me to understand things than to reread the book of Job 20 times. It's a very interesting dialogue between God and Job, and the questions that God ends up asking Job, it's all great to study and learn from. But we are really at the point where March 22 from September 23, 2017, but March 22 is 1,260 days. There are those that tell me that the book of Daniel is the cornerstone of Bible prophecy, and you will find in the book of Daniel how 1,260 days is important, 1,290 days is significant, and 1,335 days is significant. So 322 from the birth of the man-child, the signs in the heavens, 1,260 days. So I'm turning it over to Joffrey now. And we're probably up against our 10-minute warning already, or close to it. What do you say, Joffrey? I've thrown out signs and symbols and numbers, rule and run the world.
Yeah, it is interesting. We recognize numerology. Christ talks about the signs in the heavens. We hear about the signs in the heavens. He talks about that. You know, you can know the weather's going to turn by reading the sky, but you can't tell what. Who I am, the Son of Man, is here with you. You know all these things about them, but you know so little about the truth. And I'm not sure I'm quoting that exactly right. I'm paraphrasing heavily on that. But anyway, the numerology thing is intriguing to me because we come up against it in the latter days. Hopefully we're not here at that point in time, but when we are forced to recognize that we have to function in a society that marks us. So we know those that are surviving the last days of the Revelation, that those people are identified by a mark or a number of the name. So, and you know, they say that number references the 666 number. I'm not so sure it's going to be some 666 symbol on your hand, personally, but it will be a number of some sort because it's the number of his name. So I think we can't be ignorant to the numbers. I think they're insignificant. And we were talking about before the show, the mockery of those who are opposed to Christ, opposed to God, are very much into also mimicking the things of God. And by doing so, they wish to follow their patterns and their numbers. And so we see a lot of mirroring, in my opinion, of those kind of numbers and symbols. You also mentioned a comment about we went from astronomy Paul to astrology. So when was the recognition or change that there was something to benefit by reading the stars to the skies, apparently, historically? Apparently that was something that still is done today. Now, some people take that one step further into reading what their day is going to be like as far as their horoscope is concerned. So they're looking at the signs and wonders of the heavens. Yet also we're told it's a wicked generation that seeks for signs and wonders. So, enlighten me a little bit on where that transition, we went from astrology to from astronomy to astrology, or is that an affiliation or correlation I misunderstood?
I've studied history, and of course, there's a lot of history to know, and I am unable to explain when astronomy and astrology became two separate disciplines or fields of pursuit or bodies of knowledge. We know that for many, many years, horoscopes appeared in newspapers. And some of us are more awake and aware, and we know, don't mess around with horoscopes. Don't mess around with Ouija boards. Don't mess around with tarot cards. Don't mess around with anything that promotes the occult. What I can suggest to you is where we're at right now is the fields of astronomy, the field of microbiology, and the field of archaeology are all very tightly controlled and owned mainly by the Jesuit universities and the science that they promote and the medical schools that they openly control. And so that's why it's kind of difficult to know what about our history is true or real or reasonably accurate. And if they control the military, industrial, intelligence complex, the shadow governments worldwide. So what you have is the Jesuits were in China by 1600. Matteo Ricci was in China and buried there. And so you already have the Jesuits infiltrated there. And so how was Jesuit educated and trained? You may remember that David Rockefeller was over in China in 1973, and goodness knows what date it was. I do have a picture, but I can't send it to you guys because it's filtered somehow. But anyway, Rockefeller's over there, and he's with Mao. And curiously, Chou Enlai was an actual Jesuit, and he was Mao's successor. And so I'm just pointing out that you've got a worldwide Jesuit influence. And do the Jesuits control the Khazarians, or do the Khazarians control the Jesuits? It's clearly the International Bankers and the Jesuits working together. But Joseph Stalin and Lenin, all those guys, they Joseph Stalin was a Jesuit. His real name was Yurga Shelby or something like that. I may be missing on that. But anyway, getting lost a little bit in the weeds, you see, the Jesuits do everything by the numbers. And remember that Pokemon is a Jesuit, and then you got 40 days weaving for Tammuz. And what I'm suggesting is we've got a convergence of a lot of coincidences. And I'm not a believer in coincidences. And you may remember that officially last year, 322, is when the lockdown began. So between the Ides of March, Monday, and the 22nd, I think we're at a really busy intersection. And just to tell you how creepy and how diabolical and how surreal it all is, they create a vaccine, and the vaccine is based on our RNA. The RNA is one strand of the DNA. So you take the DNA apart, you got RNA, and the RNA is code for DNA. And what they do is they put an operating system in, and the operating system turns into prions in your body. Well, sure enough, guess what we're getting on the next 10, 12 days or 7 days? Now we want old people and children together again. See, after we cared so much about the older people and murdered them, now we care. And now we want all the people that have been vaccinated to be around the young children. And so, once again, you got this 322, you got this Skull and Bones, you got really just a convergence of things. And the thing about prion disease is the inversion again. You can transmit hoof and mouth disease. You can shed prions. Prions can be transmitted from one person, from the old to the young. So instead of protecting people, using vaccines to protect people, they use vaccines in frequencies to affect people. So we have a whole lot that's happening now, and it's likely going to happen. I just look to 322 to be a huge long swag or something. There are even those in the so-called biblical prophecy field that are getting that people are going to be raptured on 322. What all I can say is dispensationalism is a minefield. It's a mess. And a lot of people in dispensationalist beliefs, they start with 2 Timothy, and it's only mentioned once in the Bible, and it's called rightly dividing the word of God. And, you know, I've been through the Bible 10 or more times, and it's real simple. All truth goes through Jesus. But those that apparently have better understanding of Bible prophecy and what the Bible really says, they've turned it into the blessed hope of the rapture. And, hey, I can always be wrong, but I'm very cautious on date setting, and all I can say is, boy, we better get close to God and repent and be righteous and holy and be in prayer and be hearing from God, because if we put our trust in men or man or in things that may or may not be true, we're going to be either disappointed or deceived, and deception always leads to destruction. Geoffrey, I'm sorry, I don't know that.
I want to add to this, if I may, Paul. What you've said, I'm in agreement 100%. You explained it well. God has put people in my life at certain times. They've helped me financially. They've helped me spiritually and other ways. We are living now, and you're proof of it. You've been a patriot. You've been awake. You've been an American for 40 years. I've been at it for 39 years as the whistleblower, the last remaining alive to speak in what I can speak. Now, Jeff is a very spiritual warrior. I met him personally, folks, and his girlfriend, without speaking names and getting her harmed, had dinner. These people are godly people. I know what time I'm living in. I don't pretend to be the most spiritual, God-fearing person on the planet. I got that Marine Corps attitude. I don't take prisoners. I might be the David and Goliath story before this is over with. I don't know. I don't know my destiny yet, quite. But I know that God's always with me. He hears my prayers. And he answers them. He answered one this morning. Boom! Got my answer with a phone call that wasn't intended to be. Paul's here for a purpose. He's here to educate you. Jeff is here to educate you. Joe, who I put on often, is here to educate you, which Paul has met Joe. He knows the man. He's a spiritual man. I'm not here putting spoofers on and spooks on anymore. Because we are living in the last of times. If you don't have God in your life, you're going to be screwed. We are living in the end times. I've been screaming about this crime syndicate taking over the economy. They own it and they control it. And now they're injecting you with the mark of the beast, which is in Revelation 13. And Joel has pointed out, he believes one third of mankind's going to die from the vaccination. Charlene's been on, a nurse, explained that it's never been tested on animals, but the human race is going to be the friggin' guinea pig with numbers she's coming up with. 5.5% of the people are dying within 2 weeks after taking the vaccination. We are in the final days. This is judgment. All I can tell you is a patriot, an ex-Marine, a whistleblower, a human being is not to take that vaccination and wake up and start talking to God now. Because if you don't, you're not going to have that protection. And the protection you're going to need, you're getting ready to be sent to friggin' hell, or you're going to see God come back. And there's not going to be any friggin' rapture. Jeff, Paul, pick it up from there.
Yeah, Joffrey, you know that I think that with the economy and being so falsified, so phony, so nonsensical, so beyond our capacities to really give a compelling or clear narrative beyond its amorphous. There is no shape, there is no form. It is absolutely indescribable because money or the Federal Reserve note is supposed to, it's supposed to serve three functions. It's supposed to be a medium of exchange, and it still is. It absolutely is. And it's supposed to be a unit of account. And so, yeah, we can measure the value of a snowblower versus a lawnmower versus a bed versus travel or a meal or whatever. And so you've got similar goods that you can calculate the relative worth or value of. But it most certainly is not a store of value. And Martin Armstrong, he's the guy I really think's good. I mean, I think he's worked with the central banks and the central bankers and the IMF and World Bank, he understands. And beyond him, though, then you get into a lot of the other talking heads, and they all seem to have this gold and silver agenda. And I'm not suggesting people should own gold and silver. I'm just suggesting that, oh, wow, once things go wrong and society breaks down, you know, trying to use those besides barter is going to be problematic. But I think we're heading to World War III. I think that Ukraine and Russia are going to be at war very soon if they aren't already. And I think Israel and Iran certainly are going to be exchanging weaponry and missiles and so forth. But then, you know, I also believe that behind the curtain that they own everything, and they own the shadow government worldwide, and it goes to Salt too. So, Joffrey, what do you think? Where are we at, and what do you know or believe? I think the beauty of this channel, of course, is that it's not infiltrated. And, I go if there's 5 to 10 channels out there that I would say, hey, this person, I mean, our agenda is reality, and our reality is we live in real times. And I'm actually there now with my third shot of espresso. But what say you, Joffrey?
Well, there were so many things that we didn't both get on that I thought, wow, we could really expound on that and discuss that. We're kind of in the financial realm at this second, but I'd almost liken money more to a concept than to actually something that like you say, has a store of value because it's something we have to believe in. And yet, it could be at some point formless because, you know, we're ready to jump to the digital age. You know, so we still have some form of, well, I've got something in my hand which I can look at. I can see a picture of a face of a president on here. It's got to be worth something. And then you jump that equation to, well, now I'm into a world of digital entry where there's, you know, databytes on a disk, and now that's my money. So it's evolving. It will evolve. Never fall in love with it because it's going to disappoint you, as we know, because it's a fading tool to get to the ultimate tool of total control without the use of money, to where the human body can be programmed and controlled from a third-party perspective. And now we've jumped past the concept of money to where that person becomes in a form of a commodity to be used. So we are certainly changing. We're moving towards a direction that none of us three guys here, and a lot of listeners are probably thinking, oh, yeah, it's a strange world we live in now. This is really odd. That people are talking about these digital coins, this Bitcoin. Well, give me one of those. What does it look like? Well, you don't grab a Bitcoin. You don't hold it. You don't flip it in the air like a 50-cent piece. I mean, it's a digital. It's an algorithm. It's something, you know, again, we're changing and transitioning. But backing up a couple of things, I love the passion that Stu has, and I think we're apathetic in a lot of our understanding, and I'm not so sure that isn't because of lithium and all the other heavy metals that we breathe and then aluminum in the air. I think we're dinged in a sense that our reception and our receptors and our ability cognitively are diminished over time as we're subjected to what's above us, what we're drinking, what we're eating. So we're fighting a battle, and there is just no doubt about it. It's a life death battle, but it's also a battle of the mind and kind of where we're at with that. The thought of the whole thing of even the Ouija board and the conjuring and all this stuff, you know, we could have a whole show of it. And a friend of my mom's wouldn't even walk out the door without reading a horoscope. She was controlled by a horoscope. She didn't feel confident enough. She trusted to walk out the door without reading it first. And this is a form of, obviously, a spell, casting. So that's a whole, to me, a whole other area we could spend a show on. And I think we should at some point talk about that. A lot of people chat about that. Go ahead, guys.
There are so many insights, it's kind of time to be at it.
Excuse me.
With more either spell casting or by the numbers, 44 is a number that Charlene talked about in advanced direction. And so not only do we have 322, they have so many favorite numbers. So that the CIA is absolutely a Jesuit organization, and
Otis Johnson used to call criminals in action because he worked for them.
They reveal themselves through their logos and beyond our Pentagon, of course. And, you know, my best guess is 1941. If we were to look up what day did the Pentagon build on the Farnese Castle, I don't know for sure, but I'll bet if I look up the day the Pentagon was christened, it would probably be September 23rd or, you know, 322, or, you know, I mean, it's going to be one of those numbers. And across the span of history and the cultural divides of geography and language, three constants, and those constants are signs, symbols, and numbers. And we really have no idea what's underneath the Vatican or what they're hiding in the Smithsonian. They really
try. Well, they got a big tunnel underneath the Vatican that runs to England and runs from England and other parts around Europe.
Hey, go ahead. Dole is calling right now. I've got to sign off soon. Should I put him on or not answer?
Pardon me?
Joel is calling me right now.
Take him on. Bring him up. And I'll have a discussion for a moment with Jeff while you're doing this.
Okay.
Now, folks, as I said, I had a meeting a couple hours plus with two psychics in Las Vegas, Nevada. One of them was a psychologist, psychic, that George Herbert Walker Bush and Richard Cheney, Dickie Cheney, the child molester, psychic. They go by numbers. And if those numbers don't work, they go for other numbers. It's part of the fallen angel game Paul has been talking about the entire program. We are living at a time. As a federal whistleblower, I thank God I'm still alive, still able to put my voice out here. I'm telling you, we're in end time games. I thought this was going to come around maybe in the mid 2005 to 2007. It didn't. I've sat and watched God. Nobody knows the time and day. But with them injecting you, with the vaccinations killing 5.5% of the people that are getting it, it's got the mark of the beast in it. As Joel says, he believes one of the plagues of the third of mankind dies. We're looking at Pokemon over there doing his Talmud crap. Why they got these bodies of giants that look like they're going to open up tomorrow out of Iran in the museum. We better think about God has been showing me to put certain people on. It's that time and it's that hour. I'm just here to wake you up. If you're in agreement with me, fine. If you're not, I don't care. Go get your vaccination. Go breathe your chemtrails. Go get your weather wars. Go play your games with Satan. I hope I get into heaven. If I have to be David and Goliath and take care of some problems here, I'll do that. I'm going to wait for God to tell me that. I've never seen the heat on myself like it is now. Why? Because I've been doing what for 60 days? Telling you the truth at the time frame that we're in. And so is Paul. So is Joel. So is Jeff and others. And by the way, I want to make a correction about Simon Parks. Charlene, who's a great gal, a nurse, an educator, going to be a preacher, God's brother in my lifetime, Paul's, Joel's, Jeff's, and others, at this time, to tell you the truth. But she is incorrect pertaining to Simon Parks. There's a reason I'm saying that. He's an okay guy. With that said, Paul, would you pick it up, please?
I was unable to bring Joel on because his call had already been canceled before I could answer. So I have to close, guys. I only had 40 minutes here, so I'm just closing prayer in my closet here. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. We are grateful that you are on the throne. You are the King of Kings. And you are righteous and holy. And your word is true. So we praise you. And we ask for a hedge of protection for Stu, for Joffrey, for me, for all of our listeners. And everyone's got issues. And we know this is a time of testing, and this is a time where you need us to prove ourselves worthy. Jesus said that it's a narrow road, a narrow path, and a straight gate. And Jesus also said, learn the parable of the fig tree. And that is about knowing the times that we live in. We live in surreal times, Lord, and we're only going to make it through these times with the Holy Spirit imbued in us. What I ask for all of us is answers, and answers to the issues that we have. And who are we at this point? Well, we are your servants, and our purpose is to occupy and resist and to be salt and light. I know I'm working out my salvation minute by minute, sometimes day by day, sometimes year by year, but bottom line is, without you, we are nothing. We owe the breath that we have, your creation, everything we owe to you. And what do you want? You want our hearts. You want our hearts to be loving. You want us to know you, to worship you, to serve you. So that being said, please show us the way, the truth, the light. And we know it's in the scriptures. We know. Start with John, read it again and again. Go to Isaiah, read that a couple times. And then I think most of us will have more confidence to go out and not be experts, but we'll know you. And we'll know you really by our relationship with you. So, Heavenly Father, we ask that in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, that you give us the knowledge, the wisdom, and the courage to be your disciples, to serve you, and to know what is our path in this day and in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I would ask, Father, in your holy name, by the blood of Jesus Christ, by your stripes, Father, you, my Father, in heaven, give me the authority to continue in your behalf, Father, to bring broadcasts, to tell the truth in these times. I ask for you to guide me throughout my life now. Paul, Jeff, I ask for you, Father, anyone touch these men or others, that you take them out, Father. You send your warring angels after their enemy. I ask for the warring angels to go after my enemy. And I ask, Father, that I'm allowed to continue bringing the truth to the people the best I can do. Amen.